recording. Hey, it's picking me up. Oh, it's magical. Let's put that a bit louder. There we go. Never work with two computers at the same time. Hey, guess who I work for now? Okay, that one. Hey, it worked. You missed all the... You know, for all those who sit up late and wonder, mind going, yeah, it works. I had a panic for about 20 minutes when the computer stopped working before. Well, today I warn you now, because I don't always put the verses up on there, and I haven't. I've put the verse numbers, so I hope you've got your Bibles. But I'm actually using, I've got NIV references, King James references, and Message. So if I had all of them with me, I'd have a small library with me today. Okay, okay. What are we showing on that screen? I'm going to have to move it in a minute. Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Right. Okay, okay, then. Let's start. How are you all? You all good?
Yes.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm actually better. Right, we'll keep it, we'll go for that one. But unfortunately, because this is one of the adult services, it's not chocolates and sweets to give out.
Sweets?
No. Right, okie dokie then. I'm offering some pamphlet just for this first one. So, right. Today, my talk is on That's My King. Do you know him? Because this is inspired by a video that I was shown May last year. Oh, it's only a year ago. May last year, which I'm going to show you now. Because if I go to my next slide, it just says insert video. PowerPoint was playing up last night. So this is... My talk is based on this video, which was written by a preacher over in America called... I've got his name here on everything I can tell you. Oh, what happened? Oh, yes. S.M. Lockridge. Don't know if any of you have ever heard of him. Anyone? No? Okay. Anyway, he's quite famous on the internet. Unfortunately, he's passed away now, because he's gone through the Lord. So. But his videos are famous on the internet, and there's lots of his recordings that have turned up, and people have put various visuals to it, because his messages are absolutely brilliant. If I'm ever... a quarter or a percent of the preacher this guy is, I'll be happy, because this guy is awesome. So I'm going to show you one of the videos now. Someone's made the visuals to go with the audio. Now I have to listen. It's only about 3 minutes long. So this is why I left the laptop on here. Do that. Yep, move that around to there. Shift that out of the way. As you can see, I'm really organised today. Go and unmute that then. Oh, yeah, it's going to buzz a bit because it doesn't like my laptop, but we'll deal with that. Okay.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He's the God's strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's strengthened and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter.
Points I'm going to look at today based on that. Do you know Christ as your Saviour? Do you know my King? Do you know all there is to know about our King? And you're asking, you know, other people, do you know? Double doing my things, that was clever. I don't mind it. Okay, never work with computers. Right, so, I just show the same things what I'm looking at, and we're all good. Okay, so, start off. Do you know Christ as your Saviour? Do you know my King? So let's start with some basics. I've used this verse before, and I think everyone knows this verse. So, without even looking it up, can we all say this verse? Do we all know it? From 3:16, it's, "For God so loved the world, that gave his one and only Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." I do love that one as well, because every person in the room probably said a different version of that verse, because of your Reddit, the version you probably learned as a kid. And for me, that was King James Version. I'm sure for some of it's NIV, New King James. There's loads of versions, and we all know it's Good News Version. We all learn that as a child. It's the basics. But let's have a look at another verse. It's John 10:10. It's one of my favourites. John 10:10, verse 10-15, in fact. I had this on the back of a hoodie at one point, in fact. When I was at university. And the verse reads, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So let's look at the first part of that verse. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. So it's not in pointless life, it's in a half a percentage of life. Christian life is not just a bit. Christian life is a full life. My example here, I don't drink either, this is probably a bad example, but it's Pepsi Max, not Coke Zero. I don't drink either of them, so I couldn't actually tell you if there's a difference. It sounds good. Yeah, Jesus came that we may have life and have it to the full. And if you're not a Christian, that's it, you can have full life in Christ. And the second part is, he's a good shepherd. He lays down his life for his sheep. Because he lays down his life for us, he died for all of us, to protect us. As we read in that first verse, right, so virtually all knew it, it's there, it's football matches. For God so loved the world, he sent his only son to die, whoever believes in him. So, what are you waiting for? Because in 2 Corinthians, now this is where I'm going to switch Bibles, because there is a reason why. There's a reason why for all of my random Bible changes today. I kind of apologise for it, but as we said with the first verse, John 3:16, we all learn our different versions. And I come from a bit of a Brethren background, so I learned quite a few of these from James Version, or I've been to Gospel Halls where they've had it up on a poster, and you see it every single Sunday. So they were kind of ingrained in using me, and some of them just sound better. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, and it's just the second part of this verse. Now this one used to be on the wall at Foster Street Church, one of the biggest churches in Warrington was at one point. My great granddad was involved in youth work there and was a speaker there for quite a while. And apparently in nursing school at one point they had over 1,000 kids. This is a big church. And there's a big clock at the back and these words written over it. Verse 2, chapter 6, just the end. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. No point waiting, no point putting anything off. Now is the accepted time. So, let's move on to my next one. I should take the time, because according to my watch, it's only 10:30. We don't finish that until 12:30, so I've got 2 hours. And notice no one's walked in yet, so I'm guessing everyone did just the clocks. Like, someone, because no one's walked in by about now-ish, so we're doing well. Okay, so, do you know all there is to know about our king? I know I didn't. If we were asked to say, who's our king, would you have said every single thing that was on that video? I wouldn't. It's not the immediate thing that springs to mind, every single one of those things. But they're all true. And they're absolutely wonderful words. I've got them here. I can read you just one paragraph of it. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathises and saves. He strengthens and he sustains. He guards and guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. That's just one paragraph from that video. And I wouldn't have said probably half of those things. Well, I would if you sat me down for an hour and said, name everything about God, Jesus, and our King. It's like, okay, I could go through a lot, but there's a lot. I don't know everything. I'll never say I know everything. And I'll challenge anyone who does. But we don't know everything. So, in 1 John 3, verse 1, again, I switched to the King James, because again, I learned this is. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that great? We're the sons of God. If you have the NIV version, you probably say that. It says the children of God, if I remember rightly. We are the sons and daughters of God. We are the children of God. But it doesn't mean you have to stay as children in our learning. I've got the next bit. Oh, there we go. Hey, isn't it? Where is it? But, go back to that one, there we go. So, but we don't mean we're always, just because we're called children doesn't mean we have to act like children. It doesn't mean I have to learn like children. My mum still calls me her little boy. And whenever I go home, still she always goes, oh, my little chickens are all in the nest. I'm 25. What's wrong with you? It's true, she still refers to little chickens. She gets up ugly at times. But she expects me to be grown up. She expects me to have drove up north. She expects me to be old enough. We're going away. We're going to be doing loads of stuff on the next one. She expects me to pay for all my stuff myself because I'm not a child anymore. As I should. You know, I'm an adult. So just because we're called sons and daughters of God doesn't mean we have to act like children all the time. We have to grow in Christ. We're still as children. Abigail, I'm sure, is still passing as Jill's baby, isn't she? But she didn't act like, well, not all the time. And I'm sure a lot of you have probably got grown up children. You also refer to them as your children, your little boys, little girls. Doesn't mean they are. They might be older, they might have worked, they might have gone on to do something, they might have children of their own. But they're still children. So, the great thing is, God's all those things it mentioned in the video again, we're still his children. After all that, we are still sons and daughters. That's great. I love this verse. Because it is. Behold. So we have to stop and listen. Because behold. And as I say, we're not children in the literal sense. We have to grow in Christ. We have to grow up and become followers of him. It's great when we first become Christian. We're all enthusiastic and stuff and bouncy. Literally like a little child, like, oh, exciting, everything's all the time. Sometimes that can wear off. But as long as we're not, we have to grow with our knowledge, we have to grow with our understanding of Christ. And in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, not laying on the hands of the resurrection of the dead and the eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Now, it's quite going on. I was in King James version. No wonder it even sounded really difficult in that version. There we go. Let's switch to NIV. This is the problem with having a digital Bible. You can't see what you're looking at unless you look in the corner, it's all the time. So let me start that again, sorry. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing the eyes, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting we will do so. So we need to move on from the basics. And I was actually going to read the verse twice, and I'm going to end up reading it three times because I did it wrong the first time. Because I just want to read you it, because it's quite a complicated verse. I was reading this for quite a while when I was planning this, and I ended up looking at the Message version. Now, I'm not a huge fan of the Message version, and I think that is the first time I've ever preached using the Message version of the Bible, because it's not a literal translation. I have very bugbears with it, but I'm not going to go into that now. As a study aid, it's quite useful, especially for breaking down verses and working out what they mean. So let's break down this one. So this is the Message version, which, for anyone who's not heard it before, is kind of like a young person's street version of the Bible. That kind of makes it easier to understand. Okay. I'm getting laughed now because I'm going like that. Yeah, thank you. Okay. So come on. Let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundation truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning in trust towards God. baptismal instructions, laying of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. God helping us, we'll stay true to all that. But there's so much more. Let's get on with it. Okay. Not a direct translation, and that's why I have issues with it. But it's a great way of understanding the verse. Let's get on with it. Let's leave the preschool finger painting behind. We've done the basics. Let's move on. Let's move on in Christ. Illustrates my point. I'm a bit behind on the PowerPoints. So, how do we grow by being close to God? That's how we grow. And it was a song that they had. My parents did my dedication when I was baby, and it was "When We Walk with the Lord," which the chorus, which more that I've known, is "Trust and Obey." And the verse, if I remember right, starts with "When we walk with the Lord in the light of this world, marvelous glory we'll see. When we do His good will, in vain we will still for all those who trust and obey." Hey, you all know it. I can quote the old ones. And then the chorus is trust and obey, run away, to be happy with Jesus and to trust and obey. See, it's a really good one, that one. But it is. It's also very, very true. Trust and obey, you follow God, and go close to them. The Bible talks about meat and milk. It's a common thing. It's something, a guy who kind of almost mentored me when I was living back up north, talked about a serious amount. The Bible talks a lot about meat and milk. And we can't grow if we just live on milk. You wouldn't think, when we have a baby, milk. So I'm going to show my limits here because I haven't ever had a child, so I only can go so far with this. But you wouldn't keep giving a child milk forever. It'd never grow. I know it builds strong bones and teeth according to the adverts, but it's only going to go so far. You know, we're not all sat here drinking milk. We're all going to go home and only drink milk and have a Sunday roast of milk. We want meat. I like a good steak, personally. Or beef. We do, don't we? That's how a child grows. Starts on those squishy, weird, smelling baby foods, don't you? And then it slowly gets moved on to solids and steak, eventually. I like steak. But you do. It's meat, not milk. Unless you're a vegetarian. But we have to grow. To grow in Christ, we have to get that stronger Bible knowledge. There's no point. We can't grow as Christians if all we're doing every week is reading about the Nativity, or reading about a quick bit about the Last Supper and a bit about the crucifixion, resurrection, maybe a couple of parables, you know, keeping the 5,000 maybe thrown in there for good measure. You know, it's our basic Sunday school stories, Noah's his ark, you know. That's great, it's a great foundation, but we have to build on that. We have to build on that in our knowledge, because otherwise we're going nowhere. We end up just stuck in a rut in our Christian lives. We don't grow. So let's move on. Are you asking other people, do you know him? That was a big question in that video. That's my king. Do you know him? Do you know him? And are we asking that on a daily basis? Do we know him? Do you know him? Do you know my king? 1 John 3. Oh, no, that's 3 John 1. 1 John 3. Verse 16-18. 1 John 3, verse 16, the first part of this, is kind of seen as a companion version. It's John 3:16, but it's 1 John 3:16. They do kind of blend together. And it reads like this. This, going on, caught myself this time because I was in the message version. So. That's what I didn't do right. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone's material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be for that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. So the first part is, let's say, the companion version. This is how we know what love is. Because it's representing John 3:16. mentioned here again, Christ laid down his life for us. I even wrote that down. But we also, he says we need to love with actions, and it's called us children again. It's referred to as children. God continuously calls us children, his children. He's given his instructions, children. We're just not to act like children all the time. And it's showing our actions. Now, I'm not saying for a second, please don't read me wrong on this, that actions get us into heaven, because it's not by deeds. But we still need to show our love. That's how other people see that we're Christians, by our actions. They go and look at us and go, wow, you've seen that. And before that, what were you doing? You go, I'm a Christian. One I've actually done is, and I'm going to show it, is my WWJD band. I don't know if anyone knows since I wear it. I wear it every week. And this has actually now got the attention of quite a lot of people. This is my second one. I got my other one broke this week, and I was quite upset. Because I had first got my, this was the one I bought when I was in high school. And then I lost it. So I bought a new one on my first day of university, which is the one that broke for the day. And I wore it on my first day of university because I thought, I'm making a stamp here. I'm a Christian. I'm going to show in my actions I'm a Christian. And this is one way of marking it. And on my first day, my first class, one of my mates walked up to me and went, snap. And he's now one of my best friends. And that was how we met. And it was great. And it was a great witness for all throughout university. A lot of the time, people stop me and go, what's that mean? But when I was at work, when I worked in the call centre, people would go, what's that mean? I mean, it's also people didn't want to work on the phones. But people were asking. It was shown. And in my actions, it all went, oh, well, how can you do it like that? How can you live like that? How can you don't do this? How can you don't come out with us and do that? And then the other week in work, because my other one, like say, snapped after about 5 years. It was looking a bit worse away anyway. And so I put this one on because I found it from when I'd been in high school. And a new guy started with my work. And we were sat in a meeting. He kept looking at me funny and I'm thinking, what's up with you? And then afterwards, he came up to me and he went, just noticed your arm. And I'm thinking, oh, well, we've got the X-ray arm. And I'm thinking, well, maybe some kind of doctor. But I'd say, oh, no, it's fine, it's okay. And he went, no, WWJD. But he said, I'm a Christian as well. And I said, oh, great. So it does. People stop and look. But it's showing. It's kind of my action. I did. Sorry. But you're not seeing it before. Okay. So WWJD, for those who aren't aware, is what would Jesus do? There is also frog, which is fully rely on God, and push, which is pray until something happens. So there's quite a few of them. But my personal favourite is what would Jesus do? So yeah, so it's showing our actions. So there's no point just saying we're going to do something. I'm a great one at times. I'll say, I'm going to do something. And then I don't. As people find out, the worst one I'm for, and I work in computers, is replying to emails. If I don't reply to an email within about 10 seconds of actually getting it, you're never going to get a reply off me. I apologise in advance because I'm terrible for it. I'm also the same with text messages. And like I say, I work with IT, I have about 5 computers surrounding me all day, and I still don't reply to people's emails. But we have to show in our actions, not just say we're going to do something. We actually have to put it into action, actually do it. And in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, we're giving instructions of what we should be doing. Now, I admit, and I had a look at my other talks this week, that I've been planning this, just to check something and how it's right. I actually use this in every single talk I've done at Southgate so far. And I don't apologise for that, because it's a great verse. And it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptising them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. And like I say, I use this verse every time, and I don't apologise for it. This should be our Christian motto. I remember someone speaking once about how Christians, we should have mottos, because of, see, even football clubs have a motto. Everton have one, which is in Latin. Probably means we always lose or something, I don't know. But, just really hating the Everton fans in a minute. But, as Christians, that is a magic motto to have. Brilliant. Go into all nations, preaching my word. baptizing them in the Holy Spirit and teaching to obey. What better command and instructions from that? That's the best we can go for. So you need to go to all nations. There you go. And ask him, do you know him? Do you know my king? So, yeah, I'm not taking too long today, even though the clock is up. So, do you know my king? If you don't, now is the time. That last verse I read on that, back on the first point, was Corinthians. Now is the accepted time. If you don't know Jesus as your Saviour, now is the accepted time. I'll always remember, when I was telling someone a story the other day, actually, I know this couple, Dave, Orange, and his wife, I can't remember her name, oh, Penny Orange, yeah. Dave and Penny, and they go out and do missionary work in Moldova and Romania. They work with this organisation called Hope Jesus Missions. Okay. And they have this big giant wagon which they take out there in Liverpool, which is why I know them, because my dad sticks it every time. And they believe in going out to all the little villages and doing missions, and it's set up a big tent and this big wagon which has all the stuff on it, the stage, and very, very good. So this big tent, and they get literally hundreds and all the surrounding farms and everything in Moldova and places like that. All the places that a lot more organisations don't go to, all Christian organisations, because it's a big town and city. These guys are going to small villages. And they just take over a farmer's field, so they can be borrow it and be able to set this tent. But they also sometimes do stuff in the UK. And there was this one time, and they were at the front, and they had this tent campaign going. I think it was in Liverpool. And they were at the front singing. There was these group of rap. So in fact, there was about five, six teenage lads, maybe a few more, sat in the back row, being typical teenage lads, and just messing. They were from the local area, and they'd heard about it, thought, hey, this will be a bit of a laugh, and joined them in the back. And they were basically just being a constant disruption, winding everyone up. And they were having a bit of a worship time up front, and they were having a bit of a lull, a bit of a prayer, and these guys were just going for it, just shouting abuse, messing around, winding everyone up. And one of the singers stepped towards the mic and just went, lads, if you're not interested, you can leave. But just remember, one of you could walk out here now and get hit by a car, and where would you be? So they all laughed, stood up, walked out. And as they're walking across the road, car hits one of them. Luckily, he stands right up. The car was going quite slowly. Every single one of them was white. After what Penny just said in this gospel service, they all checked that this guy was okay. He was, no broken bones, nothing. He was perfectly fine. It was just a glancing hit. They all stood up, turned around, walked back in, sat down at the back of the service, and were silent. And not one of them said a word. And I think I remember right, there were quite a few of them became Christians that night. Because how do you prophesy that? It's prophecy on a whole different level, that one. But now is accepted time. That car accident could have gone a whole different way for that lad. He was very fortunate, God was obviously watching on him, but he got straight back up. But it could have gone a totally different way for him. So now is accepted time. And for two, it's time to grow. So my question is, what's on the menu for you this week? Are you going to be drinking lots of bottles of milk? Maybe even a bit of squishy baby food? Going to start on meat or vegetarian alternative corn. But are you going to but are you going to start on the meat? We're going to start reading and immersing ourselves in God's word, stopping just on the basics and going for the really meaty stuff. I know I've tried more than once to read the Bible from cover to cover. I'll admit, I'll hold my hand up, I've not done it, usually because I get to Lamentations and all that, and you said, and he begat to the then, and he's just up to his heart. But that's the meaty stuff. I remember someone actually preaching just on that, which was quite interesting when you start looking at the names and stuff. It'll feel like that. He goes, and that's the meaty stuff. It's just something we're to try and sink our teeth into. Might be a bit tough at times, actually. I really want some tea. But that's what helps us grow, that's what builds us up. This is the Christians. And as we grow, it's time to say to all, that's my king. Do you know that? Because that's what we were commanded to do. That's, as I said before, our motto for our lives. Do you know my king? And if not, that was a second time. Should we all just pray? Lord, I thank you that we can come here and we can learn about you, Lord. I thank you that we can grow with you and that we can share your word with us. And I pray that others will hear your word and come to know you as well, Lord. Lord, be with us all this week as we go forward and grow even more with you, Lord. Amen. And should we say the grace? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.
What Rob said, I'll believe everybody does. If anyone got that, how many people